Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Viraj Sanghvi from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited. From the management, today we have with us Mr. Shobhit Uppal, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Vikas Ahluwalia, Full-Time Director, Mr. Satbeer Singh, CFO. I will now hand over the conference to Mr. Shobhit Uppal for their opening remarks, after which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thanks. Good afternoon, everybody. We, Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited, a construction EPC company, have announced our financial results for Q3 FY24. During Q3 FY24, the company has achieved a turnover of 1,026.47 crores and a PAT of rupees 70.66 crores in comparison to a turnover of 743.25 crores and a PAT of rupees 45 crores during Q3 FY23. The company has registered growth of 38.11% and 57.02% in turnover and PAT, respectively, during Q3 FY24 as compared to Q3 FY23. EPS of the company for Q3 FY24 is rupees 10.55 as compared to rupees 6.72 in Q3 FY23. During Q3 FY24, the company's EBITDA margin is 10.90% as compared to 9.61%, and the PAT margin 6.88% as compared to 6.05% in the corresponding period. During the 9 months of FY24, the company has achieved a turnover of rupees 2,691.64 crores and a PAT of 175.69 crores in comparison to a turnover of rupees 1,975.35 crores and a PAT of rupees 121.95 crores during 9 months of FY23. EPS of the company for 9 months FY24 is rupees 26.33 as compared to rupees 18.20 during the 9 months of FY23. During 9 months FY24, the company's EBITDA margin is 10.56% as compared to 9.82%, and the PAT margin is 6.53% as compared to 6.17% in the corresponding period. Net order book of the company is rupees 11,246.83 crores to be executed in the next two to two and a half years. Total order inflow during FY24 till date stands at 5,833.86 crores. At present, we are L1 in two projects aggregating rupees 3,229.87 crores. We are ready to take your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations on another robust quarter, sir.
Thank you, Shravan. Thank you.
Yeah. So, sir, just rechecking definitely in terms of the guidance. So in 9 months, definitely we have done a superb 36% revenue growth, and we were looking at, last time we guided 20%+. So now for the fourth quarter, how one can look at, is it fair to assume that we should at least able to grow at least 8%-10% on QOQ? So that means closer to 1,100 crore kind of a revenue in the fourth quarter.
Yes, we are targeting that. We should achieve about 1,100 crores in the fourth quarter.
That's great. And then, considering, so first, just a clarification, this L1 of 3,229. So one is the gems and jewelry of 2,840-odd crore, and what was the other order?
The other is the sports complex in Assam. It's a stadium and a sports complex in Assam, Guwahati.
Okay. So for gems and jewelry, we were expecting LOA by this January, February. So when we are likely to get the LOA?
We should. We are hopeful of getting it in within the next, in this financial year, within a month.
Okay, okay. So then considering this, our order book is, order inflow is 9,663-odd crore. So how much more are we looking to still expect to get in this year, and how one can think of for the next year in terms of the order inflow?
As far as this year is concerned, we should get, in addition to these L1, we should get, at least, 200 crore-300 crore more. This is by virtue of, extension of certain existing contracts with existing clients, and maybe one other project in which we are negotiating with a private client.
And then for next year-
As far as the next financial year is concerned, this year has been good. Going forward, we are actually, there's going to be a bit of a slowdown as elections are around the corner. So, maybe going forward in the coming year, the order inflow may not be as much, and we are also not aggressive. We are also awaiting what will happen post-elections in terms of effect on prices and other things. So, maybe the order inflow, our target is around 5,000 crore.
Okay. So, similar in terms of the 25%+ kind of execution or the revenue growth, one can now expect at least for FY 2025, 2026, month, couple of years, that should be the, given the kind of inflow that we have already received and the order book.
I would say more likely 20%, because, as I said, the year, a couple of months are bound to be affected by elections.
Okay. And then in terms of the margin, will it now, we were looking at 11.5%-12% in FY 2025. So, can we start seeing that 11%+ from the fourth quarter onwards?
Yeah, you're already seeing that, Shravan. It's improved significantly, almost a percentage point, and for the 9 months, we've come to about 10.56%. This will further go up in the fourth quarter. So yes, in the next financial year, we will definitely be above 11%.
Okay, okay. And just a couple of balance sheet data points, sir. So, inventory, trade receivable, trade payable, mobilization advance, retention money, and unbilled revenue.
Yes, sir. Retention money, 291 crore. Mobilization is 414 crore. Unbilled revenue, 450 crore. Inventory, 342 crore. Debtors, 650 crore, and trade payables is 746 crore.
746 crore. And, cash balance is how much, sir?
Cash balance, cash is 236 crore, and bank, 360 crore.
350 crore. And the gross debt, 32 crore, which was there in September, so that's the same number?
That's the mobilization advance?
No, gross debt.
Gross debt is around 42 crore.
42 crore. Okay. Okay. And in terms of the CapEx, how much we have done and how one can look at in the fourth quarter and FY25?
This quarter we have incurred around 31 crores and total 9 months is 86 crores and we are expecting 120 crores as already guided.
And for next year also similar than that or will it increase?
No, it won't increase.
Okay. That's it, sir, and all the best.
Thanks, Ravan.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohan Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is I just want a clarification on the current order book. What is the current order book? And are there any slow-moving orders in this current order book, or there is any delay in getting the appointed date? And what is the status of the Mumbai CHD project?
So most of the projects are now well underway. I don't think there are any slow-moving orders. As regards CSTM. Now we have clearances on certain portions of the design of sub-buildings and we will be seeing, while we have broken ground, but excavation or billing will start in right earnest from next financial year.
Okay, so are you booking any revenue from CST project right now or is it most likely in FY25?
In this particular quarter or in the month of March, we will book a billing of about 50 crores.
Okay. Understood. And what is the current order book?
The net order book is about 11,246 crores. Net order book.
Plus
gross is 18,647.
And plus your L1 in 3,200 odd crores. Is that a right understanding?
Yes.
And sir, can you please for clarification, can you just restate the order inflow for 9 months? I know that the order inflow is fabulous for this fiscal, last fiscal is so great. Yeah.
No, the order inflow till date is 5,500 crores.
5,800 crores.
Understood, sir.
Till date.
Understood, sir. My last question is, sir, given the fact that, of course, the next 9 to 12 months, the government sector orders will be slightly, there will be a slight slowdown in terms of finalization of tenders. But how do you think about the private sector? We haven't seen any private sector order materially in last 9 to 12 months. Are you seeing, do you expect this contribution to increase in terms of order inflow, especially in the next fiscal?
Yeah, as I had mentioned in my last call, during the last investor call, we are slowly raising up our exposure to the private sector because as all of you are aware, the private sector capex is increasing and, a lot of blue chip clients who we consider as safe bets are also coming up with large projects and they are looking at on the short term, we are seeing competitive intensity lesser in the private sector and more in the public sector. That is why you have seen that our private sector share of the total pie has also increased. For the long term, we would like to maintain an equitable mix between the two.
What is the share right now, private sector in the current order book?
It's about 30%.
Understood.
If we see how it has moved up in the last 1 year, in Q1 23, it was 19%, and today it stands at 30%.
Oh, that's a good number.
Aim to make it 50-50.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir,
yeah, hi.
A chance that Gemstone and Jewelry Park project, there will be some lower, the value would be a bit lower than 2840?
Yes, it will be. As we had mentioned during our last call, as regards as an answer to a specific question which you guys had raised, that, you know, the budget, our bid was more than their budget. So that's why this has got delayed, because they've been looking how to prune down the cost by reducing certain areas. So yeah, that is what the exercise is happening, but it will be lesser, yes.
It would be maybe 10-20% lesser, ballpark?
It's still being worked out. That's why I said it will take another month or so for the letter to come in. It totally depends on the client, but yes, it will be substantially lesser.
But it will come to us only. That is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Everything is almost finalized.
Okay. And sir, secondly, how would you see the execution to pick up in the CST project in FY25 and 26?
Yeah, as I said, we will take off in real earnest in the next financial year. And so, yeah, it'll take about 2 years for us to complete it. So, yeah, 25-26 is right.
So, we would be complete. So, around 40% execution we can build in for the CST project in 25?
Yes.
Okay, and so lastly, what is the status for the Bihar Animal Husbandry project? So over there, how do you see the execution being ramped up in Q4 and next year?
So the total value of the order is 890 crores. We have billed about 140 crores. And now, you know, the major reason for lesser billing was that a lot of area was not handed over to us because existing old building, functional buildings were there. Now 70% of the area has been handed over to us, and again the project is moving at full speed.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We are looking to complete it by the end of this year.
So in FY25 we'll complete the Bihar project?
Yes.
Okay, thank you a lot.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Amit Khetan from Laburnum Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I had a couple of slightly longer term questions. So if we compare ourselves to some of our larger peers like say L&T and Shapoorji, where are we organizationally in terms of say systems, processes, management bandwidth and the kind of people we hire? What are the gaps that you have closed say over the last 5 years? What are the gaps that exist today, and you know, how are we planning to close those gaps? Also in this context, it will be very helpful if you can highlight how involved is the promoter family in managing various aspects of the business today versus what it was say 5 years ago.
I didn't catch your name, sorry.
Amit.
Amit, hi. First of all, I would like to sort of take an objection to the first part of your question. It sounded as if, you know, we are in some ways inferior to our larger peers.
I didn't mean that.
We are smaller. We are smaller. No, let me complete. We are smaller, but in no way inferior. In fact, that is why we have our own homegrown systems. We have our own homegrown talent. That is why, in spite of being so much smaller in size to them, we continue to punch above our weight and we continue to compete with them on some of the largest projects in the country. That's first part. Second part, as regards the management bandwidth, you know, I mentioned we have homegrown talent. We continue to groom youngsters. We have a succession plan in place for every critical post. That is why today we are working in 17 states and have become a pan-India company in spite of doing just buildings and factories. Secondly, to answer your question, what was the second or third part of your question? Could you repeat that? Promoter involvement. Yes, there are three promoters who are fully involved and hands-on. One is the founder and chairman and managing director, Mr. Vikramjeet Ahluwalia. One is his son, Mr. Vikas Ahluwalia. Third is me, Shobhit Uppal. As promoters, we continue to be totally hands-on and involved in the day-to-day functioning of the company. Anything I missed out?
No. My second question would be, you've talked about a bit of a slowdown around the elections, but if you were to take a slightly longer term view, what are the risks and challenges you see both for yourself and for the sector in terms of both winning new orders as well as executing them, and how are we addressing those challenges?
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. Before you go ahead with the question, Amit, please mute your line from your side when you're not talking.
Sure.
Thank you.
So Amit, while yes, the infrastructure industry is booming and it is expected to continue to boom because in all probability there is going to be continuity in the government post the general elections, there will be a bit of a slowdown as a part of the election process and how it impacts order. But we are insulated because we've had a very robust order inflow as far as this financial year is concerned. So we are insulated from that risk. And as I mentioned earlier in response to one of the questions, most of our projects are now well underway. There is no slow-moving portion of the order book. So I think the only sort of hitch that I see is that, at the time of the election, just a month prior and month after, when the new government is to take shape or take over, there would be a bit of a slowdown in terms of payments. But we would hope to counter that through internal accruals and our internal funding.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Shreyash Sabu, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, sir. My questions have already been answered with the previous participants, but I would like to congratulate you on a great set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Vishal Periwal from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of results.
Sir,
on the standalone and console, so there is one line item which only differs is the loss from associates. So can you give some clarity? Though it's a small number, but what is actually this line item about?
It's working capital borrowing?
Loss. Standalone and associates. There is an item which is loss making.
This is basically quota. Only judgment loss, so there is 17. This is
that bus station.
Hold for a moment. This is basically Nepal project.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, are you audible? Are we audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay, yeah.
This is Nepal project. That's at an initial stage.
Sir, sorry, you're sounding a little distant actually.
Hello? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That is a Nepal project. That's a disclosure of loss of rupees 40 lakhs during this quarter.
Okay. And this is what EPC work?
It's an EPC work where we have a joint venture with a local player. And this project is in initial stages.
Sure, sir. Sure. And then I think you did mention on the CST project. So just correct me if I'm wrong. So next year we're targeting a monthly run rate of billing in the range of like 100-150 and when do you see this
project? About 100 plus crores every month.
Okay. And when do you see this project get concluded? I mean, in terms of the timeline which is there in the contract?
About 2.5 years.
Okay. Sure. And maybe one industry-specific question. So, in generally, retention money which get blocked with the client, so is there any concept of interest that we get on them or?
No, there is no interest on the retention money.
Okay. Yes, sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity once again. So my question is on the pipeline of institutional redevelopment projects. Are we looking to bid for the new project? And are we, as I understand, there was a Delhi station which was up for bidding. And that's the question, sir.
At the moment, we are not focused on further station redevelopment projects.
But is it fair to say that there will be also smaller projects which are available where we can...
There are a number of projects which have been coming out and will come out for bidding. But at the moment, we are not... That is not a focus area for us.
Understood, sir. My second question is, sir, of course, you spoke about the election and the delay in tender finalization. But, sir, from the state government side, I think there should be enough activity, right? There should be enough state government tenders.
Look, whatever we may say, this is the general election where, the state machinery also gets involved. And there are a number of other permutations and combinations which come into play. So effect is there everywhere.
Understood, sir. Thank you. And all the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of questions. So if you look at cumulatively the last 5 years projects you have actually executed, how many projects where there was a delay in execution, just to get a sense of proportion in terms of how many gets delayed, in which was in your control, and how much was delayed because of it was in some external factors?
I think if you were to strictly go by the timelines which are there in the tender, almost all projects, there is a spillover as far as timelines are concerned, if I was to be truthful, right? But what has happened is that, once this EPC regime or EPC mode of tendering has come into play, the delays which earlier on used to be mostly on account of, drawings and details not being provided in time, those delays have been mitigated to some extent, not all. Because there are other factors also, like you say, for instance, if you look at NCR project, you would have the NGT bans coming into play, which with every progressive year, the impact is only increasing, right? Then there could be other political factors which come into play. There could be factors relating to funding, say for instance, in some states, I would not like to name them, projects get delayed because the state is facing a cash crunch. So there are a number of factors. Having said that, in all the projects that we've executed in the history of this company, the timelines, whatever extensions there have been, they've been granted to us by the client, thereby, certifying that there have been no delays from our side. But yes, project time overruns are there in almost all the projects.
Because the reason I'm asking this question is that I was just going through the prereq or pre-qualification for one of the AIMS projects, which has already been awarded. And one of the prereqs that they actually say that the client, the person to whom we are contracting it, should be PAT positive for the last 3 years, should not have had any delays, etc. So, what was puzzling for me is almost every contractor will have these delays. So then how do you even get qualified for these things? Is it like a go, no go, something? How do you...
No. It's not that. When they say that there should not have been any delay, what they mean, it's actually specified delay which is attributable to the contractor. That's what I mentioned in my answer to your earlier question, is that the time overruns are there, strictly speaking. But in every contract, there is an extension of time which is granted, and the delay is apportioned. If there is no delay to the contractor is not penalized. Get my point? There is no liquidated damage which is put on the contractor. That's what I mentioned as far as we are concerned. It's never been put on us. And you know, generally when these the qualification comes out, they check it for the last 5 to 7 years. That's what the clause says. So whosoever has been awarded, say we would have been awarded this contract that you're talking about, we could have been awarded because we've not had any penalty.
Got it. So it's not subjective. It is very clear that you know there is a process where the delay is attributed not to the contractor clearly.
Yeah. You know, there is a CPWD template which is used to submit. The contractor tells the client periodically that these are the delays which have occurred in a contract which is not attributable to us, right? And then, the client, depending on which client it is, either periodically they grant extension of time or they keep the record and they keep granting provisional extension, and before closure of the contract, they grant a full-fledged extension.
And if I look at AIIMS alone, there were, a lot of AIIMS that are actually either constructed or, you know, yet to be constructed. But if you look at it, I see that only one we have actually won. And recently, L&T has actually won the Rewari one. I just want to understand, why didn't we bid, or did we bid and we lost? Like, just want to understand why we got only one AIIMS among the, several AIIMS that got bid out.
No. So let me first give you more accurate information. We have completed in the last two years, we have completed two AIIMS projects. One is AIIMS Kalyani, one is AIIMS Nagpur. The third AIIMS, which is AIIMS Jammu, which probably you're referring to as the one which we won, which is one of the largest AIIMS or the largest AIIMS that is nearing completion. The Prime Minister is slated to inaugurate it by the end of this, in the third week of this month, February. So that's the third AIIMS that we'd be completing in a period of 2 years. Prior to 2 years, we've done two large blocks for Delhi AIIMS, the mother and child block and the OPD block. Those also aggregated about 600 crores. Prior to that, say 6 years ago, we did an emergency block for about 400 crores for the Safdarjung hospital in Delhi. So there are a slew of AIIMS projects that we've done as far as Rewari is concerned, and one more, Madurai. We were qualified for both these jobs, but as a part of our due diligence, we were not very comfortable with certain parameters in the contract. That's why we decided not to bid.
Okay. It's something which you did not... Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So I have one more question.
In fact, for the Madurai project, in that one project, they followed the PQ, pre-qualification route, where three contractors were only qualified. One was us, one was Larsen and Toubro, and one was Nagarjuna.
Got it. One last question, may I squeeze in?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So if you just look at last 5 years, what has been our write-offs or penalty which you have actually paid cumulatively, and where have we...
No penalties. Aluwalia has not incurred any penalty.
Okay, all the retainership money we get, we have not lost any.
No, nothing.
Got it.
The retention, just for your information, if you don't already know, is that, the general condition is that retention, half of the retention, generally retention is 5%, half of which is released to us on completion, and rest is released to us after the completion of the defect liability period, which generally is 12 months post completion of the project.
Got it. That is helpful. I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyesh Babaria from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity, and congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Thanks.
Sir, so first question is that just wanted to understand in terms of ordering environment, especially from a private sectors, from a long-term perspective, which all sectors are actually contributing in the same, which gives us that kind of confidence that our private share will go up from 30 to 50%. Such.
We're seeing, obviously, you know, the main driver in the private sector is the residential market. You know, you look at DLF launched in, I think, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, they'd launched Arbor, wherein they'd collected 9,000 crores in 3 days. Subsequent to that, I think about a month and a half ago, they've launched another project, which they're calling the Mini Camellias, where they've again garnered about 7,000 crore rupees sales in about 3 days. Sorry. So you see this activity down south also. You see it in Mumbai also. So private residential sector growth is there for all to see. We are also seeing that now, you know, after COVID, after a prolonged period, now the commercial office space is also you know, seeing a bit of a upswing. One is seeing a major investment in hospitals. We have won 3 projects from Max. You know, 2 were won in the last quarter, 1 in this quarter we have won. So hospitals or healthcare is also seeing investment, increased investment. Retail is seeing increased investment. We are also seeing pockets of investment in hotels, 4- and 5-star hotels. Is that okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And
also one other sector, education. You know, that continues to sort of grow. We have started a couple of new campuses for our existing clients. Amity, Bennett is our client. So, you know, they continue to grow their university in Greater Noida. So, on the education side also, we see investment happening.
Sure. Thank you. Sir, are we thinking, you know, to foray into other than buildings or in especially non-government side, and what new verticals are we looking to diversify into here?
No, at the moment, we would continue to focus on sectors around our core competence of buildings and factories. But we bid in this quarter, or in the last month and a half, we bid for 3 airport projects. Right, so that could be counted as urban infra, or but it's focused around the buildings only. We are bidding for some metro projects. We have picked up a project which is an STP, the civil works for an STP, which we are doing for Welspun. This is for Dharavi. So, you know, these are the areas where we would look at some organic growth around our competence, core competence.
Okay. So third question is that is the tender pipeline as of now, since on the last call you had mentioned that our tender pipeline was around 2,005 crores. As of now, how the tender pipeline is looking like? So,
it's robust. Tenders, I think, continue to flow in. You know, in the last financial year, we have bid for tenders around, if we were to look at an aggregate, around 26,000 crores. So the order win has been in excess of about 20%. So this year, it may be, the number may be, as I said, slightly lower than this on account of election, this being an election year. But the order pipeline is healthy.
Sure. Thank you.
We are being conservative in terms of, you know, bidding now, at least for the next 3 to 4 months.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Uttam Shrimal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, my question pertains to this fixed price contract. So what is the value of fixed price contracts in our current order book?
23%.
33%. Okay. Now you said that we will be bidding more for private contracts, and private contracts are also increased to 30%, and you want to go to about 50%. So is private contracts are giving more better margins than government contracts, or how we should look at it?
The competitive intensity in the government projects has increased. So, in the short term, at least over the next year, year and a half, we feel that the margins on the private side will be better.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a clarification. In terms of the, so currently, is there any value of projects that we have bidded and bid is yet to open?
Yes, we have bid for Varanasi Airport, we have bid for Darbhanga Airport, yeah, off the top of my head, and we have bid for a project in Assam, so PWD Assam.
Okay, and
it's related to healthcare.
Okay. But a broader value in terms of Varanasi Airport, Darbhanga Airport, the value would be for how much? 300-500 crore?
नहीं नहीं ये तो थोड़े से बड़े प्रोजेक्ट है. वाराणसी बड़ा है और दरभंगा वाराणसी से थोड़ा सा छोटा है. तो लेके चलो आप दोनों की एग्रीगेट वैल्यू 2000 करोड़ होगी.
ओके एंड द आसाम वन शुड बी 300-500.
या
okay, okay, got it. And this Mumbai Gemson Jewelry, sir, when we say definitely the bid is still, the client has to work out finally in terms of the reduction, but broadly, is it fair to say, so if I just do a 30% match, so it comes lesser than a 2000 crore. So will it even a much lower kind of a 40-50% kind of a lower that the client is looking?
No.
So the range could be... 20-30% reduction could be the maximum possible.
Ravan, ek ek karke 10 question puch lo, 10 se 20, 20 se 30, 30 se 40.
So,
maine bata diya yaar, I'd indicated earlier what it would be, around what it would be, right?
So, the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next question. Next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, are we facing any payment issues in any states?
Yes, we have been facing issues. I mentioned in my last call two states, Bengal and Bihar. Bengal, we have almost concluded our government assignments. Only one project, which also is the CM's focus project. So there we are not facing any problems. Bihar, yes, for Bihar medical projects, we continue to face problems. But hopefully now, with a new government in place, the signals that we are getting is that post the general election, there should be some alleviation in cash flow issues.
Okay. Sir, secondly, the revenue for Nepal project, it comes in standalone or it comes only in consult?
So repeat that question, please. Should be answered.
From Nepal project, since it's a JV, so it doesn't reflect in our standalone book, right?
Revenue is around basically 30 crore per month.
Which head? Consolidated or?
This is consolidated.
Consolidated.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what would be the share of residential private in the overall order book?
Yes, this is residential 11.80%, commercial 7.62%, Hospital 24.69%.
I think your question was residential private.
Correct. So of the 11.8%, what is the private part?
Our total, not total. Total is about 12%, out of which 12% would be, what is the value of 12%?
This is the residential.
Residential.
Residential
value. Give us the value. So total value is? No.
1,327 crores,
out of which the government, there are two government projects, one is Gardani Bagh and one is HIDCO. I think the value remaining here is about 200 crores. So, 12,000, you're saying 1327, yeah, about 1100 crores, yeah, is the private sector residential.
Okay, sir. Hello? For FY25, you guided for 5,000 crore of inflows. So you expect majority of that coming in the second half next year?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, on behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.